Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
Si usas la frase persona precavida vale por dos, the Colgate Total Active Prevention System is for you. Con una pasta dental reformulada, un cepillo de dientes innovador y un enjuague bucal antibacterial diseñados para trabajar juntos y ser 15 veces más eficaces al reducir el crecimiento de bacterias in just 6 weeks, starting from week one. Compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and flat trim toothbrush, helping you prevent oral health problems like cavities and gingivitis before they start. Cómpralo en shop.colgate.com/total and be dentist ready.
Hello and welcome to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Miller. Delighted to finally welcome an entrepreneur, an investor, film producer, former owner of the Dallas Mavericks, boo. He just wrapped the final season of Shark Tank. It's Mark Cuban. How you doing, man?
Good, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, you know, with the obvious caveats applying. The Nuggets aren't in the finals tonight. Well, I guess we're taping this on Thursday, so the finals might be over by the time people hear this tomorrow afternoon. And, you know, the world has gone mad, but my life's good. How about you?
You know, same, right? I mean, the Mavs aren't in the finals. Nothing else would matter, right? What else matters?
You got the number one pick. All right. I've got so much on to pick your brain on in limited time, so we'll just try to move through it all. I guess since we're doing the Never Trumper podcast, I kind of want to start with the Trump report card from you. I mean, you were for Kamala and for Hillary, but you try to be a straight shooter, which I appreciate. You know, yep. you'll give him something. I don't like to hand it to him. You know what I mean?
That's
like
fine,
I'm reluctant.
Right?
I'm reluctant right. to be. It's like that old drill meme. I'm issuing a correction. You don't got to hand it to the terror group ISIL. I feel that way about Trump. But how about you? What kind of report card would you give him right now? Just, you know, across economy, foreign affairs, et cetera.
Well, so look, when I was campaigning for Kamala, we said we were going to shut down the border effectively, right? And we talked about how the new plans from Biden had reduced the numbers so that they were lower than Trump in his final month, et cetera. He's done it. He shut down the border, you know, and so he deserves credit for that. He said he was going to change the conversation on DEI. I don't think he understands what DEI is. And so I don't know how much he's actually changed other than a lot of copy pasta and search and replace. And obviously, there's been times when, you know, there's been economic impact where programs have had to be shut down. But I think generally across the country, I don't think he's had dramatic changes on corporations, but he's done what he said he's going to do. Right. So that's two.
Yeah. No Harvey Milk on the boat anymore. Sorry, Harvey.
Yeah.
RIP.
And so third, I say deportations. He's done it wrong, but he's done it. I think we get confused a little bit on deportations because he puts everything on tape and he makes everything an event, which amplifies it. But at least the last numbers I saw, he wasn't deporting as many people as Joe Biden.
I think that's changing a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Well, I think he's tried to make it seem like it's changed, right? And he's certainly done a lot of high-profile attempts at deportations, for sure. But then he walked it back.
Yeah.
I mean, where the greatest numbers were, you know, farmhands, you know, working in service industry.
The deportation thing is very important to me. So I just like, part of that is because Joe Biden gets credit for like, he didn't shut down the border the first 3 years, right? So some people are coming across the border, then they're getting turned right back around. So that's a one.
Right, of course.
You know, that's
just, right.
So that counts as a one.
No, and I understand the counting
right,
thing,
and so
right,
and so that number, right? So now Trump has fewer, but he's doing more of like the raids of like random businesses and people that have worked here a long time.
So no, look, when I was out there for Kamala and I talked to businesses, and I would say, do you want somebody walking in the door asking you for all your I-9s and then going in and then taking those phone numbers and showing up at people's homes? And we're going to have Elian Gonzalez day in and day out. So he said he was going to do that and he's done it. I don't say that I'm agreeing with it, but he's doing it, right? And I think he's made a lot of mistakes in his approach, et cetera. But then again, he walked it back. And the numbers show, at least prior to that, that he wasn't even hitting Biden numbers, which obviously freaks Stephen Miller out a lot. So that's three. Number four is what he's done on crypto and with the SEC. And I'll separate those two, right? Crypto, put aside his grift, right? That's ridiculous. The Trump meme coin, like literally when that Trump meme coin came out, I emailed the CEO and the people I knew at Coinbase and said I was embarrassed to be a customer of Coinbase because they were trading it. He's allowed to do a meme coin, more power to him, right?
The sponsor of the military parade, you mean, Coinbase?
Yeah, those Coinbase, guys. Yeah,
official those guys, sponsor right. of the military parade. Yeah,
you know, right. you got to kiss up to the audience of one.
Yeah.
But that said, I am a fan of crypto, and I think there is utility for it. But how Trump has done it with the meme coin is ridiculous. That's a 4A, I guess. 4B is the SEC. The SEC was a mess. And, you know, I truly believe Gary Gensler cost Kamala the election, but that's a different conversation. But just generally, the way the SEC has historically done business, and look, they came after me for insider trading. I beat them in about 3 hours in a trial, literally in the time it took for lunch. That was it. But their whole spiel has been you litigate to regulate. Meaning you don't tell anybody what the rules are, but if they believe you broke the rules, then they're going to sue you anyways, which is wrong. And this guy who's, and Kamala, when I was out campaigning with her and with talking to Doug about it too, Kamala's a smart lawyer. And we had this conversation. You need bright line rules in the SEC so people know what they can and can't do when it comes to starting or running any business. Bright line rules, I think, will reduce the number of infractions and lawsuits because people know what they can't do. The new approach, that's what they're doing. So those are his wins in my point.
All right. Let's hear about the negatives. Where do you give them some L's?
Oh, my God. Just no leadership, you know, no ability to make a decision, still listens to the last person he talked to, is excluded from the big boy conversations. I mean, the list is long.
Economics. How about your wheelhouse?
I mean, he doesn't understand tariffs, but, you know.
I just look at it a whole picture. I mean, what you're doing is he's putting together this bill on the Hill that's going to raise interest. I think this is, like, appreciate it. And I wonder your take on this. Because the first term, he did some pretty traditional Republican economics and took a lot of credit for it and pretended like it was his magic business apprentice skills. But it was like kind of the same sure. policies that Jeb would have done, right?
101. Yeah.
This time it's different. And the environment's different because of interest rates and a bunch of other stuff globally. So we've got a debt-busting bill that's going to increase everybody's interest rates combined with tariffs that is going to increase everybody's costs, combined with deportations and a culture of fear that is going to affect the workforce. Like, you combine all that shit together, mm-hmm. and I mean, it feels kind of status quo-y to Biden, except for in certain industries, like right now in people's lives every day. But I think it's going to start feeling worse for people not too long from now.
But already is starting to feel worse, right? There's two economies in the United States right now. There's all the small towns and cities and states, they're getting torched. Everything that they do, you know.
The forgotten man, you mean?
The forgotten man. Exactly. The real people that, you know, working on farms, the people who do beef, you know, that do cattle in Nebraska, all the states that have to balance their budget now find themselves short because of all the DOGE cuts or all the office closings or the people that are laid off. They're all in deep shit. Like, one of my fun pastimes is to look at small town newspapers. So, like, okay. I'll get the Parkersburg Sentinel, I forget what it's called, and I'll just go reading through it because they'll write about the things that are impacting their local community. And yeah. I want to understand where the impact the DOGE is having or is not having, just to check my whole card. And literally, you know, the Daughters of American Revolution Museum type thing, that money that they got from the states, gone, right? The buildings that housed, you know, Social Security, or, you know, in Parkersburg, West Virginia, it's a town of 29,000. And, you know, there's the Treasury group there that has 2,000 employees. And I don't, you know, at least 125 have been fired.
Yeah.
But all these small towns, particularly red towns, are decimated, and it's only going to get worse. And I think they're going to have the hardest time with all the economics. And even from a tariffs perspective, you know, when something goes up in cost and you have to ship it to a small town, it's a lot more expensive to ship it to a small town. So they get double whammied. Whereas the blue towns that are the bigger, more urban and consolidated cities, they're going to get hit less. New York, LA, right? They'll have an impact there, but it's not going to be nearly as bad as the small towns.
Have you ever wanted to learn more about wine but can't figure out where to start and don't have the Cuban budget when you're going to the wine store? Well, I've got the answer for you. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines. It's 2025. Are you still shopping for wine like it's 2005? Naked Wines is a service that directly connects you to the world's finest independent winemakers so you can get award-winning wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code, TheBulwark, for the code and password at nakedwines.com and get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. For me, I'm not really a wine man. You know, I'm more of a bourbon or a kind of a microbrew Colorado boy, but it's just nice to have wine bottles around the house. You never know. Somebody's coming over. My parents like wine, want to have something with their care. Oh, we get invited to a dinner party, want to have something to taste out. Naked Wines has been a great solution for me for, you know, making sure we have wines around the house, affordable, couple different varietals, test out different things. You can tell them what you like. It is a wonderful service. Couldn't recommend it more. Naked Wines has been around for over 15 years, funds over 90 independent winemakers around the world with no commitments or membership fees. You can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/thebulwark. Click enter voucher and put in my code, TheBulwark, for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/thebulwark and use the code and password TheBulwark for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. I want to do a little bit of going back, unfortunately. You mentioned Kamala a couple times as if you were like, you were in the room. And so I'm going to start here. We're going to do just a little gossip at first. There was some green room gossip at MSNBC. You ready for this? You ready? I wouldn't tell you this if it wasn't like pretty good. Like somebody I kind of trust said that they asked you to send in VP vetting papers and you said, no, the list would be too long. Is that true?
Yeah.
It is true.
Yeah.
Why didn't you consider? I mean, you ended out there campaigning with her, advising her.
Yeah. The second part of that, my response was, I'm not very good as the number two person. Okay. And so the last thing we need is me telling Kamala, you know, the president, that no, that's a dumb idea, right? And I'm not real good at the shaking hands and kissing babies either.
All right. Well, I don't know about that. I was talking to Pete Buttigieg a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, I want to, you know, give you a time machine. We're going to go back in a DeLorean. Like, what could we do different? So I want to ask you that same question, but also in the context, like, if it was you instead of Tim Walz, who the hell knows? I don't know. It feels maybe different.
I mean, obviously it would have been different. My personality is completely different than Tim's. My experiences, my backgrounds are completely different. I think I cut through the shit more directly. I'm not a politician. And so it would have been different, but it would have been awful. She would have fired me within 6 days.
It would have been better than present situation.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, I really thought she was going to win either way.
Here's what I want to pick on that. And I know you don't want the clip here. You're like, we would have won if Mark Cuban was VP. And I get
right,
that.
Of course.
I don't even know if I believe that, but maybe. I think it would have been meaningfully different in a way that like picking Josh Shapiro or whatever wouldn't have been meaningfully different in a way that's kind of hard to predict. But I was listening to you today with my man Theo Vaughn, my fellow Louisiana podcaster.
My guy.
And you did 2 hours with this dude.
Yeah.
And I listened to all of it on 2x speed. And I'm like,
which might have been the most crazy experience ever, because Theo at 1x speed is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. He's like asking about porn and gay stuff. And like, then you get into politics and he's all over the map. But like at the end of the 2 hours, it's still hard for me to understand why he's for Trump. Like there's no real substance.
He's gangsta.
Thing.
He's gangsta, baby. That's
it's
what he
vibes.
Said, right?
Yeah,
his vibes. He's gangster. But that's, look, most people just want to live their life.
Right.
They want to get up in the morning with a smile and not be stressed. In my mind, the number one job of any candidate, and this is where Trump has spectacularly failed, the number one job of any president should be to reduce the stress of the people of the country.
Well, that's
there's
not
only
working
one,
so far, at least for me.
There's only one thing we all share, and that's our president.
Yeah.
Everything else is unique to us, you know, or unique in a thousand different ways. But the president is the one thing we all share. And having somebody who communicates trust and hope and reduces people's stress is critical. But the point being, relating it back to Theo, and it's not his job to think about all that shit. They're not going to think pragmatically about what's best for me and what's best for the country. And that's what the Democrats have to learn. People just want to get through shit and get to the game. Like, who's going to win tonight? Like, am I going out to get drunk? Where are my boys at tonight? You know, who's playing who and what's the spread?
Yeah. We're going to talk about how gay the Roman Empire was, you know, and like whether if you get rich enough, you get bored with straight sex, whatever other random shit he wants to talk to you about. Here's the thing, though. I'm not critical of Theo. I wish we lived in a world where every single person with a platform like thought a little bit more deeply about policy. I've had a chance to meet him.
Yeah,
I wish that, but we don't. We live in the world we live in. And like the thing that's actually important about that observation you just made is that like I came away from that thinking like basically he just wanted a guy that wasn't he's not ideological. A lot of the Democrats look at all of that and they're like, they're racist, they're conservative, we're not gettable.
No.
And like this dude, like it pretty much came down to he didn't want somebody that was a politician. Trump's vibes are a little more gangster. He doesn't like getting his finger wagged at. And like that might be shallow, but like that's also gettable. That makes them and so that's why I'm like, if Cuban was on that ticket, they're gettable, right?
They're all gettable, right? Look, Rogan, Theo, the Pauls, you know, the Nelt boys, all but Rogan I've been on. They want to talk about sports. They want to talk about girls. They want to talk about getting fucked up. They want to talk about gambling, right? They don't want to talk about politics. 99% of people in this country do not want to talk about politics on a day-to-day basis. And in fact, they're trying to get away from it. So if you're going to try to connect to them, you've got to connect to them on a human level. You can't talk ideologies. You can't ask for ideological purity. You know, you can't extrapolate every single piece of shit that happens and say, now this is going to happen all the time everywhere. That's not how most people think.
Yeah. And this is the part that makes me want to pull my hair out about them, though. Because when you get to the policy, it's like most of them are for like Bernie healthcare stuff, totally vibing with your cost plus drugs reform stuff, which we'll talk about, like against the Iran war that Trump might be getting us into right now. So like on policy stuff, like on immigration stuff, they're pretty reasonable.
What does that mean? It means we don't know how to sell. Well, I told this to Kamala. I told it to Tim. I told it to the people around Kamala. Our problem isn't our policies. Our problem is how do we sell them, right? How do we make people feel comfortable with what we believe so that they will at least absorb it and understand that there's, you know, that there's something in it for them. It's just like our lives that we live on a day-to-day basis. The things that we eat, the things that we, you know, how we look at our health have all changed. They've changed. And over time, these things have been, you know, communicated and sold to us in different ways. And we've evolved. The Democrats have not evolved. Republicans have evolved. There is no more Republican Party. You know, it's the Trump family business. And Trump has always been a salesperson. And Trump understands that if you make people feel envious of some other group, and then in turn you shit on that other group that they're envious of, you can sell them pretty much anything.
Okay. So there's another group of people you hang with that I do have a little more contempt for than the Theos of the world, and that's the rich guys.
I don't hang with motherfucking rich guys.
You don't? Okay.
No.
Well, whatever. You know rich guys better than me. I don't get to talk to rich guys. You talk to rich guys sometimes, at least. Rarely. Maybe you don't hang with them.
No.
You at least hear from them. Like, a lot of what you guys do, you know, in an investing class and all that is it's risk assessment, right? There's risk assessment as a central part of all this. And I just, for the life of me, can still not wrap my head around the failed risk assessment from these guys.
On Trump versus Trump versus Biden / Kamala. Okay, I'll explain it exactly.
Please.
So even when I was out there trying to talk about cost plus drugs, and I went to the White House and I met with Ron Klain a little bit for a few minutes. And then I wanted to meet with Biden. He wouldn't meet with me. I wouldn't say he wouldn't. He couldn't. Maybe he just couldn't.
Yeah.
But put me aside. Sure. Maybe I don't rank, so right?
Crazy.
But every single business person that I've spoken to said the same thing, that they wanted to get time with Biden and couldn't do it. And whether it was about AI, whether it was about crypto, whether it was about other businesses, you know, even Elon, when they were talking about EVs, he couldn't get in the room. So their first initial response is, this guy doesn't like us. So then the question comes, Biden or Kamala versus Trump, right? The response as it applies to Trump, because I was like, I know this guy, right? I did a podcast with Vivek where I said, Vivek, this guy underpaid invoices. Would you ever underpay invoices? No. This guy ripped people off.
Well, Vivek might, but okay, that's neither here nor there.
No, Vivek wouldn't. Like, I may not agree with him policy-wise, but he's not like that. But in any event, like, I use the example because that's when, not long after the trials in New York were happening, and Michael Cohen was talking about how Trump underpaid invoices, and he was proud of Michael when he did the same thing. I'm like, I thought when Michael said that shit, maybe, you know, when he'd have his, you know, little stand-up press conference after the each day's hearing, that he would say, of course I paid everybody. No, right? Yeah. All these guys, all these business guys, I would say character is destiny. Character is destiny. This is what you're going to get. And they're like, they would always go back to his first term. But he didn't do any of these things in the first term. He didn't do this, 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 and this. And we have no reason to expect that he would change dramatically and do anything differently than the first term. Obviously, that was wrong, but that was their logic.
That was not satisfying to me. It might be true, but it wasn't satisfying. It's like, true. Okay, Biden won't meet with me. Let me give you another perspective. Biden won't meet with me. Trump's a moron. If Trump walked into any of those guys' boardrooms 10 years ago and was like, will you give me $50 million? He would have been laughed out of. Mark Andreessen would have laughed him out of the office.
But let's take it one step further, right? So let's talk about them showing up at the inauguration and giving all that money. Why? Right? And I'm going to tell you exactly why. We are in a zero-sum game with artificial intelligence. These companies, these five, six, seven companies, are spending $60 to $100 billion a year so that they could potentially win AI. You know who had no interest in talking about that or dealing with that? Joe Biden. I tried to get Kamala more pushing it, and she did. But by that time, it was already too late. They were already all in. And so if you're in a position, Tim, where you just spent $60 to $100 billion and the requirement so that one guy with one pen can't fuck you over and end that $60 to $100 billion is you have to kiss the ring. If the Democratic Party said, you know what, we've got this asshole Republican, he'll switch. If Tim Miller goes and kisses the ring and shows up at, you know, you're doing it. You know, it's a zero sum.
Well, I'm not doing it. I've got a great life at my home in New Orleans, but I hear you. Most people are doing it. I'm happy in my little studio.
No, but you know what I'm saying though, right? Because it is a zero sum game for them.
I want to get to the AI thing next. It was literally the next thing on my list, but just, I just want to push back on one more element of it. Okay. I don't agree with it or endorse it, but I get it in the period between him winning and Inauguration Day. Again, that last 2 months though, it's just like, you look at this guy, I mean, forget going into Andreessen Horowitz. If he showed up on Shark Tank for a crossover episode, it's just like, this is ridiculous. Like the downside risk, the tail risk of giving him, and imagine when he's 82.
But what are you going to do? How do you change it?
Okay, they could have done what you did. I guess this is my question. Why is it just, I literally would say this to Nicole Wallace, who'd be off air, and I'd be like, why is it Liz Cheney and Mark Cuban and you and me? Like, where is everybody else? Why didn't they do anything?
I don't need anything from them. You know, I mean, they literally have hundreds of billions of dollars at risk. The future of their companies that they've spent their entire lives building is at risk. That's why.
All right. You're kinder, Tim, than I am, which is nice. That's a good instinct.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I want to ask you about the AI shit stuff. This is another thing you're more optimistic about than me. There's an alarming AI story I want to get to, but I want you to do a bull pitch for me on AI first before I get to the alarming stuff.
I'll tell you what I tell every kid. I wish I was 16, because the tools that AI provide any 13, 14, 15, 16, 20, 25, 30-year-old kid to go out and start a business are amazing. That it's like having every professor, every library, every mentor, every consultant available at your fingertips to go out and do whatever it is you want. If you didn't graduate from high school, if you never even sniffed a community college, if you're willing to spend time with all these new AI tools that are changing by the minute because you have the time to, and the interest to do it, you are going to have the most significant job advantage, competitive advantage, entrepreneurial advantage. This is such a unique time in history when it comes to enabling young kids to do unique things. We've never seen anything like it. And if you believe in Gen A and Gen Z and what they're able to do for the future, put aside, you know, our age, my age, right? If you believe in them and what they're able to do, I think it's just going to be incredible.
I do believe in them. I worry, though, about just even the widening gap that we have now. Like, look, I got a 7-year-old. I hear you, man. Like a 16-year-old who's a somebody that's a self-starter, who's curious, who's interesting, and the best time in the world, right? A 16-year-old who's lonely, who doesn't know what to do with themselves.
Now you got somebody to talk to.
Okay, Mark, that's very concerning. That's not a real conversation. That's not a real human, though.
But so having access to a therapist on a marginal smartphone.
Not a real therapist.
Read some of the research now in terms of how kids, look, there are risks, right? There's been a kid who killed himself, right? Yeah. There's been kids who get too connected to it. So it's pick your poison. Do you want a kid who's isolated with nobody to talk to at all, with no access to therapy? Now, that's a different problem and a different issue we might be able to solve in another way by getting them support or having a tool.
I maybe want them at the pool. I want them at the local pool. I want them at the community pool.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Can I pick option three?
Well, no, option three is going to ChatGPT or Perplexity and said, I need a workout program and I need a social program. So the point being that we have a lot of problems, social problems, a lot of social problems across the entire spectrum of people, every city, every demographic, right? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, we can talk about what are the paths we can take to solve those problems. And all the ones that don't involve AI are incredibly expensive, incredibly people intensive, and really difficult to implement in any political environment. But on the other hand, what we're talking about are the frailties of AI that's relatively new. And so can we get accomplished therapist, accomplished psychologist, accomplished sociologist to produce models that are trusted because they define the models? I think the misperception that we have is that there's going to be this one big AI model. That's not going to be the case. Those people who are spending the $60 to $100 billion a year, they all have to compete. And each of those is not going away. But more importantly, there are going to be millions of models. There are going to be millions of things and apps where you can say, the therapist you wish you could have gone to, like this was the perfect therapist for you or your child, that therapist will have a model. And that model will have the guardrails that you'd want that they would use in a face-to-face conversation. And if hopefully there's a reasonable price, then you can use have a telehealth moment where they talk to them. AI will make that better, not worse.
Okay, there's a key word that you had in there, guardrails, because I do want to talk about this, because I would have, had we done this, I mean, this would have been a dream for me in 2007, so I would have been a pig in shit and not had the balls to push back on you, but in 2007, I would have agreed with you. I'd have been like, because I was like South by Southwest kid, very excited about all these new social apps, and you know, I've got 18 years of experience now, and all of the cool stuff about the social web that I was promised. We got some of them.
Totally different, though. Totally different.
But part of that was because, you know, there wasn't a lot of smart regulation. These boomers on the Hill did let these guys kind of do whatever they wanted. And now you're telling me, well, what the AI gazillionaires, the wannabe trillionaires that are doing this AI, what they want right now is a president who won't do anything, who won't put any limits on them, any regulation. That concerns me a lot, given our experience in the last little round.
Right. And that's fair. But the question becomes, who are we competing with? What are the options available to us? Right. And so unlike most technologies historically, the U.S. is just dominated But now countries are starting to realize, France, the UK, China in particular, are realizing that, look, this is a race that might end up, you know, creating some level of economic and military dominance. And we have to win the AI race. And they're not going to have any guardrails. And so will there be some level of collateral damage? Yes. What it is, I don't know. Could it be worse than we ever expected? Yes. I'm not going to lie, right? Okay. But what's even worse is where we know there are no guardrails and nobody will attempt to create guardrails in other countries. And I'd rather have somebody who's, you know, living domiciled here, pays taxes here, whatever, has a business based here, where you can go after somebody when they've done some AI that, you know, we don't think is acceptable at any level. If you just stop it before anybody gets to innovate, we're not good at determining where innovation will lead to. And that's the catch-22. Now, going to social media, where the algorithms have gone and the dominance by all these people who are rich, the good news is from AI is it's so much easier to create competitive applications and have different levels of communications. I think people are going to use social media less. And I think a lot of this is just started.
But in retrospect, we should have regulated the algorithms. Like, you should have had a system where, like, you had to opt in to getting information. And
so still, I'll tell you an argument I got on Twitter, right? This was years ago. And I said we needed to use real names.
Yeah, I've always been for that too. Yeah.
But here was the argument against it, and it made me really think, right?
Whistleblower.
Yeah, all that stuff, yeah. And so you pick your poison. And so, but now, when you know, with Elon owning Twitter and, you know, Meta with Zuckerberg, and it's all self-enrichment and all that, you know, the question becomes, what alternatives can you create? The good news is we may not have to create alternatives because AI, if you've seen all the AI generated videos that are popping up, they will dominate social media because everybody's trying to arbitrage the economics and make money from it. And so it's going to be really tough to know what's real and what's not real. And you may not need real people to create entertainment, which means that, no, don't do that, because that, in my mind, I think it's going to force more face-to-face communications. I did this.
I just love that in your pro pitch, it's like, it's going to be hard to tell what's real and what's not real. And that's in the positive pitch.
But that is positive in some respects, right? Because it ends up being not a silver bullet, it's not the right term, but it's becomes so easy to overwhelm, to flood the zone, if you will, with stuff that isn't real. People are going to want stuff that is real, and we'll want more face-to-face communications. In business as well, when you get all these fake voices calling you as a sales pitch, it's like, if you're the company that has a salesperson at least knocks on your door or shows up face-to-face, you're going to appreciate that. If you don't know what's real or not, you're going to want somebody telling it to your face so you know it's real and that you can trust it. I just had the same conversation with a bunch of doctors an hour ago. The number one business attribute is trust. For any app, for any business, you have to be able to engender trust. In an AI world,
in my business.
Yeah, for sure, right? In an AI world, it's easier to do a lot of processes, but it's going to get harder and harder to get people to trust what you're presenting because the pedigree is uncertain. The background is uncertain. So when you try to game all these things out and look at second, third, fourth order, right? I don't think it's as bad as you think, because there's so much competition, and I think there's a positive to it, but I understand the risks.
Because here we go. I haven't even got you to the thing that prompted this topic.
Damn.
OpenAI, in a press comment yesterday, they cautioned that upcoming models will carry a higher level of risk when it comes to the creation of biological weapons, especially by those who don't really understand what they're doing.
Yeah, that's fucked
up.
That's not a great warning
sign. Like,
yeah, I'm putting that in
on the cigarette pack. It's like, might get lung cancer.
Right, yeah.
On OpenAI, it's like, you know, maybe a random teenager will create a biological weapon. That's a little concerning.
Yeah, it's like a cigarette pack sack saying when you light this, it might have a blast radius of 2 miles, right? Yeah. No, like I said, there's going to be unintended circumstances. There's going to be collateral damage, just like there are on the internet. Remember when the internet first started hitting, it was like, let's see if we can look up how to make an atom bomb, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, yes, all those things. And I would be shocked that OpenAI didn't put guardrails, because it's easy to say bomb and da 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 da. but it makes for a great way to sell yourself and get everybody talking about you.
Oh, interesting.
Because look at what Gemini is. And the difference between Gemini and ChatGPT is Gemini, the guardrails are too extensive, right? It's like Gemini is boring, whereas ChatGPT kisses your ass too much, right? And and so they've all made choices, but they're in a death war, death not being literally, to see who's going to win market share. Right now it's ChatGPT, but they might be the IBM of AI models right now. We just don't know.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
All right, I want to go back to crypto really quick. I'm so torn on this one because I agree with your kind of passing comment earlier that it really hurt the Democrats how hostile they were to crypto and Gensler. And I see it, yeah, I see it in my life just anecdotally with random non-political friends. So I agree with that. And yet, like, crypto needs to be regulated. Like much, and this bill that they put through Congress is not it. And I have friends that are in the crypto
that's only
industry.
Really for stable coins. And yeah, that was only pretty much for stable coins.
Right. So they get mad at me. I got friends that are at Coinbase, at these other platforms. They get mad at me for my comments on this. And I'm like, well, you know, there's some really legit, Bitcoin is legit. The X is legit. Y is legit. And I'm like, okay, but if you walked into Walmart and it was like three aisles were legit products and then like 27 aisles were total scams.
Well, no, okay, but let's take what you're saying. Go to Amazon. Right. So one of my big things that I pushed and I tried to get Kamala, but it was too esoteric, is all the knockoffs on Amazon. Like a bunch of Shark Tank companies, period. The shows on Shark Tank, they're already on Amazon. Boom, in come the Chinese knockoffs. And you probably don't know this, but if you're a Chinese company and you want to sell on Amazon, you don't have to have any nexus in the United States, meaning there's no paperwork you have to fill out. You don't have to have a domestic location. There's no proof that you file taxes on anything you make. You can just come in and fuck over as many American companies as you want. So to your point that there, you know, even in real life products, there's scams left and right. And that's a whole lot more expensive than even the crypto.
Just now, really quick though, like, I hear you, and that's bad, and we should have rules against the Chinese knockoff guys. But like, it's the business person that's getting screwed over in that case. Like in the crypto coin case, it's the consumer.
No, it's the people. No.
The consumer's getting a product.
No,
right?
It's Tim walking in and thinking he's buying Dude Wipes, one of my Shark Tank companies, and it says Dude E-wipes,
oh yeah, wipe
right?
With a three or whatever.
And you don't know the difference.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
all right.
So you don't know the difference. So because if they weren't selling anything,
I thought you were saying they're just making a cheaper knockoff brand.
No, they are.
Literally copying it.
Yeah, they're literally copying it and making a knockoff, and they're outselling the Shark Tank companies. And though some of those Shark Tank big companies have gone out of business, right?
Well, I did at least get my Chinese wipes though, whereas the people invested in Melania Coin just lost their fucking ass.
But it's their lottery ticket, right? I hate meme coins. I hate them. I hate them, right? I think they're the scum of the crypto earth, right? It's a problem. I don't think they should exist. But the people who love them look at it as a musical chairs lottery ticket, that if you know how to play the game, you can make money out of it.
But we've got rules on the lottery, man. Steve Wynn and
I'm not
and those
arguing
guys,
with you.
You want to get in the casino business. You can't just like have a lottery where you, everybody loses.
I hate meme coins. That's what I just said.
But we have rules, though. We got to have rules, right?
I agree, right?
Yeah.
I'd have no problem outlawing meme coins. Now, the crypto people would hate me, right? And they do hate me because I'm not purely libertarian on it. But I think to evolve from that pure libertarian history of crypto to get it to where it's more mainstream and easy for grandma, which we failed at miserably so far. Look, let me say it differently. There's been things that have worked really well with crypto and things that have failed miserably. And things that should have worked well have failed miserably. Things like smart contracts on Ethereum to create, you know, applications that truly have utility. That should have been way further ahead than it is. And the reason it's not is because Gary Gensler made it impossible to follow the rules. Now, that's not the same case in other countries. So a lot of companies left. But when you look at the grifts, like the meme coins, like the Melania and Trump coins, that's just a grift. And there's just no other way to put it. And either you pay a whole lot of tax to grift people, that there's rules, there's regulations. I agree with you 100% there.
Do you worry about, paranoid Tim's coming in now, do you worry about the teal, like the idea that they're trying to move us off of fiat currency altogether and the risk associated with that? Does that worry you at all?
Yeah, there certainly is risk, right? Because I forget the name of it, but I lost money 15 years ago with this, not a bond, but it was RI something that said it was backed by the dollar and it would never break a dollar until it did. Right, in like 2008. And this was a regulated thing. So there is that risk for stable coins. The Genius Act was a first step, but it's not the last step. I don't think people are going to take it.
You liked the Genius Act?
I thought it was a good first step just so we can start making the point that crypto can be regulated, because it won't be the last regulation. But to your point, is Thiel trying to undermine the U.S. dollar? I don't think so, right? I think he knows that there's too much.
Are you 100% sure?
No, I'm not. Obviously, nothing about Peter Thiel am I 100% sure about, right? You know, I've only met the guy once. But at the same time, that undermines the entire economy, and that does no good for anybody.
That circles me back to the Trump point, I guess. This is my whole thing with the Trump point the whole time. Is like, he obviously was going to be bad for the economy. To me, like, it was obvious. Like, his stated plans were all very risky.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you, right? I mean, all the things I said when I was out for Kamala turned out to be 100% true.
Yeah, right.
Right? I was up. I betted 100. And I would tell people this. And they were like, but he didn't do it before. He didn't do it before. Tariffs,
that's why,
right?
It's my people. It's Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan's fault. It's my people for jamming through the traditional Chamber of Commerce Republican agenda and letting him brand it, you know, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, again, I'll say it again, character's destiny. Yeah. Donald Trump is a great marketer, great salesperson. And like a lot of salespeople that I've dealt with, he cares more about closing the sale and saying he closed the deal than following through to make sure the service is delivered.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Cost plus drugs. How would you fix the healthcare system? Easy question. You have 2 minutes.
Oh, I only got 2 minutes, right? Yeah. Well, first, what is cost plus drugs? You go to costplusdrugs.com and you put in the name of your medication. Let's just say you have cancer and you need imatinib, right? If this was 4 years ago, you'd walk into a big pharmacy and that imatinib would cost $2,000 plus. Now you go to costplusdrugs.com, you put it in. We show you our actual cost. What we pay for, it shows up. We show you our markup. It's only 15%. If you want it via mail order, we have a pharmacist review it for $5 and $5 for shipping and handling, and that's it. And so you know exactly what it's going to cost you for any of your medications. And we've helped millions of people and saved, I don't even know how many lives, and helped however many families. So that's part one. Part two, how do you fix healthcare, right? First is transparency. That's a big part of it. But part two is you look for the leverage points in healthcare, because that's what fucks it all up. When you think about healthcare, it's really simple, right? You go to the doctor either says you need something or you don't. If you need something, then there's only two questions. What's it cost and how do you pay for it? That's it. The problem with healthcare isn't the doctors or even the hospitals. It's what we charge and how we ask people to pay for it. And a big part of that problem is because of how the whole system is set up. If you think about healthcare plans, whether it's ACA, whether it's Medicare Advantage, whether it's Medicare Part D, or for your company, right? You've got some insurance company that's saying, look, here's the plan. We're going to change it every year. We're going to have one plan that has a low premium, high deductible, and another plan that has a high premium and low deductible. And young people, the people with less money, always choose the high deductible and hope they don't get sick, right? But what they don't tell you is, one, they set the deductible so high, given that, you know, most of America can't afford $400, there ain't no fucking way they can afford to pay their deductible. Now, you know who loses that money when they can't afford to pay their deductible? It's not the insurance company. It's not the company that you're getting your insurance from. It's not the ACA plan. It's the fucking hospitals and doctors that they've turned into prime lenders, you know, the guys who'll have to take on any risk. Right. And so because of the plans that the insurance companies have designed, where they don't pay any attention or give a shit if the people can afford the deductibles that they sign up for, and the government hasn't figured out yet that we've got to guarantee it. Like, we can't do single payer right now. What are your feelings on single payer?
No, insane. Like, to the idea that we could afford that. No, I liked the old, there was a Ryan, I think it was Ryan Wyden. It was an old Paul Ryan thing, which will trigger some of the progressive listeners. But it was basically just like a public option for like low income. It's like a Medicaid thing, and it was scaled up. And like the higher you go,
and we got
there,
that, right? We kind of got that with Medicaid.
It's sort of a scaled up version of it. Yeah.
Yeah. First thing, the Medicare for All. If you read like Congressman Jayapal's Medicare for All proposal, the first thing it says is this shall be run and organized by the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Insane. So RFK Jr. is running it?
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and like the whole thing is...
That's all you need to know, right? But here's the thing, right? If we introduce transparency, just say like cost plus, everything was transparent, right? Then you could have cities, states, counties, and say, look, here's our budget. And if we know exactly what it's going to cost, and we can use scientists to extrapolate the data to figure out what our annual budget should be, then it can start just like Canada started their care programs. Because that's what Canada did. Like in 1947, Ottawa, one of the provinces just said, look, we know what it's going to cost. We think we can cover it. But you can't do that in the United States of America until you're transparent about all the costs. And if you start doing that, the two problem children are the insurance companies and the PBMs, because they have all the leverage, right? The PBMs control the formularies for 250 million lives, and the insurance companies that own the PBMs control the plans, the insurance plans, for just as many lives. And so they have all the leverage. If you divorce formularies from PBMs, they lose that leverage, and you don't need them for formulas anyways. And so it goes down to a direct cost. And if you're transparent on that, and the same thing on healthcare, if you simplify the payment terms, all of a sudden you can get to single payer, but it's on a municipality, county, employer, or whatever. Did I do that in 2 minutes?
No, it was three, but that's okay. I'm making a hard turn.
Okay,
it was pretty good, man. The healthcare is the hardest one. You asked me, like, what do I think about the social? My honest opinion about healthcare is that, like, it seems like our current system is the worst of both worlds. like a more free market system with a big safety net for, like, catastrophic would be better.
But we don't have a free
socialized
market
would be better. Yeah. Like our system is, like, it's taking the worst of both of the combos. I'm making a hard turn into Blue Sky.
Sure.
This started because you DM'd me and you're like, why aren't you on Blue Sky? My response to you was like, mm-hmm. number one, I like fighting, as you can tell right here. And I don't want to be in a bubble just because I enjoy fighting.
Yep.
And number two, like bubbles feel toxic, and like the types of fighting that happen in bubbles is not the type I like. And like people are nitpicking me all the time, and I'd rather be going across, you know, ideological perspectives.
Across the lines, yeah, for sure.
And like that's my issue with it. 2 months later, because it's taken us a while to make this happen, you skeeted basically my critique of Blue Sky. So where are you at? You're welcome aboard, but where are you at on it right now? What's the solution?
I'm disappointed, right? It didn't have to be that way. They took the path of not trying to bring in new users that have different viewpoints. They knew that they had a big base of users that wanted ideological purity. They knew it, right? I've talked to them. And they started to bring in a couple verticals, like the NBA's got a great vertical. Econ Sky is really good. Book Sky is really good, right? But they made no effort to go bring in other people. It's not too late. I actually just wanted to kick them in the ass, right? Because it's disappointing. To your point, I want to fight with the people who disagree with me, and I want to have in-depth conversations to see if I can change their minds or they can change mine.
I don't want to have smarmy Vice President J.D. Vance going on just to be a dick.
I did though. Why not? He set himself up.
You liked that?
I love that. Yeah. Yes, you got.
He's really smarmy about it, though, right?
So what?
Yeah.
So what?
But it doesn't I know it just doesn't like. It's like ugh. Like it's like it's. It wasn't a real attempt to engage, though.
No,
just
of course not. Yeah, of course. Of course. And I even quote tweeted him and said, "You're lying," right? When he talked about pharmacies paying for. I forget what it was. No. I just quote him and said, you know, you're lying, right? I don't believe you. Yeah. And that's fine. I want that opportunity no matter what the platform, because you know, if you do it on Twitter, your replies are just going to get destroyed for a month.
All right. We're going to close with rapid fire MBA, but just first I have to do it. So I'm not going to ask you the obvious question. Like, cause I know that you're going
to
duck
it.
I know you're going to duck it. Or the two obvious questions, but before I get to either of them, it's like, so what percent chance are you going to run for president? I know you're not going to say you're going to. Is it zero? It's not zero.
Zero. It's zero.
It's 2%.
It's zero.
0.0?
No,
zero. Nil?
My family, my wife repeats that because like zero. There was the Bloomberg article that just came out and asked the question, and she someone sent it to her, and then she saw it, and she's like, no.
What was the dumb and dumber thing? You're not even going to like be like, you're saying there's a chance, you know,
so you're saying,
one in 100,000?
So you're saying there's a chance. No.
Nothing?
Okay, so I'll say it's not 100% zero. If all of a sudden Trump was on the ballot for a third time,
okay,
right? Maybe that would do it.
What if it's his kid? What if it's JD and Don Jr.? That's not enough to get you off the couch?
No.
All right. No. I think you're lying. Here's why I think you're lying to me.
Uh-huh.
I think you're an honest person, but you showed up at the dorkiest Never Trumper conference in DC where the Proud Boys came and protested us, made it kind of interesting. I love the Principles First guys. They are great. But I'm like, only someone who at least thinks they might run for president would show up to this.
No, that wasn't it at all. It was the exact opposite. It was like, these people have no idea how to sell. They have no idea how to convince people who don't agree with them, right? It's easy to convince people in the church, right? Praise the Lord, we all agree. It's hard to convince people that the reason you like to go to Twitter, because it's more fun, but it's harder, right? You have to find a path in order to do it. That's why I do these things. I've done it for the Mod Squad and all these other groups, right? Because you've got to be able to tell them you can't just say no to everything Trump does. That is not an approach, right? Maybe it's the stop clock is right twice a day, but you've got to be able to say, okay, he was right on this. He was right on this. And you can't call people who support Trump a cult.
Yeah.
You know, they're just...
Well. Sometimes the truth is the truth.
No, but let's talk about that, right? So, like, one of my buddies, when Trump first ran, I was, like, telling him, because I've known Trump for 25 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dan, you know, guys in the mid-50s, like, why? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, let me tell you something, Mark. I've been voting for politicians my entire life. And you know what they've done for me? Nothing. You know the definition of insanity?
Not really true.
Well, his mind. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
It's all that matters in the mind of the voter, right?
So has he come around this? Since Trump's done nothing for him now?
No, but let's talk about that.
It seems like he's
right?
in a cult then.
No,
he hasn't come around yet. It's been 9 years. What has Trump done for him?
You're a white guy in New Orleans, right? So just a random white guy in New Orleans. You think that because of DEI, you or your brother, or your uncle, your friend didn't get that promotion.
I get it.
Right?
Yeah, sure. I get it.
So he said he was going to do something about DEI. In your mind, he did it. You have a cousin that works construction, right? He thinks that he's not getting higher paid jobs.
Co-workers getting deported right now.
Well, yeah, right. But he's thinking, coming into all this, right? He's thinking, I'm not, these guys are on the corner and I'm not getting that work because these immigrants, right? So I want the border closed. Did Trump do it? Yeah. Now I want those guys deported. So maybe my wages, it might be a shittier job, but my wages are going up because of it. Did Trump do it? Yeah. So now, tariffs. It's going to cost you more money. Yeah, maybe. But you know what? Those first three things that were important to me, bam, 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 Trump got it right. And so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on the forest.
I mean, Mark, that sounds like a cult to me because it's like Barack. You could just be like, Barack Obama got you out of the Iraq War. Is that you're not happy about that? We got, do you have a nephew that's gay? We got gay marriage now. Joe, you got a tax cut from George W. Bush. You could do this spin for anybody.
Of course, but this is the here and now, right? And that also is the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats always extrapolate some anecdotal scenarios and say, see, he's done it this number of times, so he's going to do it all the time. I don't think Trump voters think that way. Trump voters look at it and say, this is me, this is now, this is what's affecting my life in a simple way, right? The Iraq War, maybe I had some family there and, they're out now, that's great. Maybe, we had the great financial mess and Obama helped fix it. Yeah, but I don't remember back that far, particularly, if I'm 70 years old, the average age of the Fox viewer is 75, the average age. Yeah. I'm not hearing any of that shit from Fox, right? And if I'm going to an SEC school, if I'm going to LSU, right, I'm not hearing any of that shit, right? I'm hearing, he fixed the EI. He took care of immigration, deporting the guys who are keeping my buddies because I don't want to go to my buddies who don't want to go to college now. And so the point being is you have to recognize that's the reality. Like we did the Shark Tank thing and I went to LSU. No, it was Auburn. And it was like, oh my God, they were hating on me. Like they were like hating on me because of all the Trump
stuff. You handled it.
I don't give a shit, right? But it's, it was just interesting to know. Yeah. And so I really, really think that if the Democrats are going to understand why Republicans haven't just turned on Trump, like it makes so much sense to us that he should, you have to realize that he's batting 750. For most, particularly for white guys under the age of, 50, right, or 55, he's doing exactly what he said. And unless you realize that, you have no way to change their mind.
All right, have your wife call me because I hear you on that. Two rapid fire NBA. You realize that you leaving the Mavs caused a butterfly, flapped its wings. Think about all the people you hurt. Everyone in Dallas, every Lakers hater, every tanking team that wanted Cooper Flagg. The Buss family is gone now. Jay Moore is a billionaire now because of you. Think about all of the impacts of that decision. What do you ever reflect on that? I mean, how insane is what happened?
I am one powerful motherfucker.
That was insane. You should have stayed.
It was crazy.
You should have either stayed or been Kamala's vice president.
In hindsight, I would have done it a lot differently, but it is what it is.
Okay. I got to do Nuggets, then we'll leave. Oof. We're in a pickle, man. I feel like on the one hand, we took Oklahoma City to 7. We're one player away from being NBA champions right now. On the other hand, they got the cap. They got no cap space. They're stuck with all these. What do you do? And we don't have a GM. Well, A, isn't it insane we don't have a GM? And B, if you became the GM, what would we do? Help save the Nuggets.
Well, first of all, your former GM was Calvin Booth, who hit one of the biggest shots in Mavericks history. Second, why are you a Nuggets fan?
I'm from Denver. I grew up in Denver.
Oh, okay. I thought you were from Louisiana.
Yeah, no, I live in Louisiana now. I grew up in Denver.
Okay. So the challenge for all teams right now is we're transitioning from the old CBA to this new CBA with the second apron, which isn't a hard cap, but it's pretty damn close. And so teams have to all adapt. The bad news is, the good teams, it's going to be really hard to keep your good players. The good news is the bad teams are going to get better a lot faster because you're going to be able to get players for less and still stay under that second threshold. So I think for the Nuggets, They're going to have to draft really, really well. They're going to have to keep Russell Westbrook, and they need one more score. You know, they need another score.
What, Michael Porter Jr. for two quarters for a dollar?
It was tough. He hurt his shoulder, man. You can't put it on Michael. MPJ.
I know. I'm
hurt.
Not putting it on him either. I'm just looking at our options. All right. Jokic is the best player in the NBA, right? And we got a small window?
Yeah, it's not close.
Not close.
Yeah. And you have a long window because it's not like he's super athletic. So he'll be able to be really good until he's 35, 36, and he's only 30.
It's so beautiful watching him. It's unbelievable.
Oh, he's so amazing to watch. Unreal.
It's really been a joy of my life over this horrific political decade.
You know what? Basketball is that, right? Do you still hoop at all?
I try. I'm not, I never was that good. I was always the nerd. I was the play-by-play guy for GW's college basketball team. So I was always more sidelines. Yeah, but I do love it. Yeah,
but still, that's not even the point. You don't have to be good, right? No. Just the feel of getting out there just solves all the world's problems. Yeah,
I get out there with my daughter a couple times a week. We go down to the park and it's awesome.
My son is 15 now and he's taller than me. He could finally beat me one-on-one. And it's the worst part of life ever because he talks shit. Like, he'll have a ball. Even if he doesn't have a ball, he'll like do a spin move. Oh my God. He's just killing me. But
well, I'm going to embrace it now because I'm still talking shit to my 7-year-old, making her cry after I win in horse. You know? and I enjoy that. It's good. It's a good life lesson. All right. I'm not letting you win in horse.
But tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Going out into the backyard or gym, wherever, and just making some shots and watching the ball go through the hoop.
As good as it gets.
Solves everything.
You're not wrong. Mark Cuban, I really appreciate you taking all the time, man. I really am.
It was fun, Tim. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Come back another time. Everybody else, we'll see you back here on Monday. Peace.
It's never again money niggas with me. For sure. Never again money niggas with me. For sure. Sipping on Texas Dirt No Whiskey. Lean money. Sipping on Texas Dirt No Whiskey. It's never again money niggas with me. For sure. Never again money niggas with me. For sure. Sipping on Texas Dirt No Whiskey. Lean money. No, Texas, don't know whiskey. 41 shots, don't know whiskey. 41, whole bunch of chickens in the city. Whole bunch. All my rich hood niggas feel. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pull out banana, get the peeler. 15 Vic Carter on the wing. 15, 17, 5 for a wing. 17. Every time my fucking phone ring. Asians in China speak Chinese. Bad bitches in the Ville, please. Bad, please. 100 racks on my chain sneeze. I'm sick, 40,000 wrists. Quavo took your bitch, slide in that six. Gone. It's never again money niggas with me. For sure. Never again money niggas with me. For sure. Sippin' on Texas Dirt No Whiskey. Lean money. Sippin' on Texas Dirt No Whiskey. It's never again money niggas with me. For sure. Never again money niggas with me. For sure. Sippin' on Texas Dirt No Whiskey.
Trapping out a mansion, choppers in a bando. Smoking scroll, doing donuts in a Lambo. 11th grade in the lunch line with a bankroll. I fucked your bitch from the back without my chains on and my shades on. Then I sent her home. Cartier frames match the presidential rolling. I drink promethazine cause it tastes good with what I'm smoking. I told your bitch take off her shoe before she jump in my car. Getting head and counting money, that's my favorite part. $1 million worth of cars in the front yard. I keep real niggas with me everywhere I go. 24s back to back in a row.
The Borg Podcast is produced by Katie Cooper with audio engineering and editing by Jason Brown.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple, your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.